What's your brother-in-law's name?
Jeremy is his name, and then, well,
I have completely forgotten. Jeremy, the listener survivor.
Yeah.
Do they favor?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was him for a minute there.
Yeah, they do favor. You're right.
Hunter. Jeremy Hunter. And I want to have Jeremy to be a little
Hunter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because he doesn't speak. Right. We're good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If you would, we're going to have the attendance pads passed out. If you would register your attendance and then pass that down to your neighbor. What we're going to do first is recognize any first-time visitors this morning. Do we have any visitors in the section to my left? Any first-time visitors this morning? Anyone in the middle section, first-time visitors?
Jay Vivarette, the first time, and his family's been here, and we welcome him this morning.
Glad to have you here. Any first-time visitors in the section to my right? All righty. Well, we'd like to welcome you to Jenkins Church, and let us go to our announcements this morning. There's several in the bulletin. A lot of things going on. Do we have any updates to announcements, any addendums, any reminders, anything needs to be brought forward? Yes, ma'am.
Lisa's just laying her pillows out in the lobby, some of them, just a portion. We've met our goal. We've got enough for over 100 pillows. Any extra money, and we're not even through the month. So any extra money that we collected, we'll turn over to Lisa for buying more pillows and more fabric to make more pillow fabric for our next project. So thanks everybody who brought a pillow or begged money for a purchase pillow. And you can see what some of those look like out in the box.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Any other...
Go to, and
very good. Excellent. Yes. Okay. Just this Tuesday. All right. Any other announcements this morning?
We're still working on committees, and this is an updated list, the best I could learn yesterday, as of yesterday. And if you want to be considered for a committee, all you got to do is add your name. We're all comers. We want as many people who want to serve on a committee to do so. Now, on the second page, if you wonder what the committee does, you can flip up the second page and... read, find a committee there and read there. There's blank spots at the bottom, I think, of each space. If there's not blank lines, if there's not, just write in the blank spot. If you are interested, we're almost to the point of being, quote, full, but we don't leave anybody out. So hopefully this will go up and down, and when the guest speaker is preaching, you need to stop then. George, they may be used to reading something and writing something while I'm preaching, but they can't do that today. Try to get it around before we get to the sermon this morning, if you're interested. Start this right here.
Any other announcements this morning that need to be brought to our attention?
Then ask to pray for, especially for the Columbia Church in their minister service. We even had a call this week from a neighboring minister, retired minister, from that area,
this is
probably for First
Primary
Presbyterian
Club.
Okay. Just a reminder about the Children's Music Ministry. We are going to meet from 5:30 to 6 o'clock on Wednesday night before dinner. We would like to have anyone who is interested. There's really, if you have questions about the age range, just talk to me. Children who can say to
and when does that start? Is that this coming Wednesday night? Okay. All right. 5:30 to 6 before. Okay. Very good. All right. Excellent.
Okay. Supper at 6 on Wednesday and have a Bible study. for the adults, and then the youth, middle school, and senior high will also be meeting at, 6:45?
Close to 6:30
as possible. Okay, and then on next Sunday is breakfast during the Sunday school hour. And the idea of having breakfast is to promote fellowship, not to feed people. They can eat a lot of places. But to promote, that's a good way to get people to come together and get a round table and mix and mingle. So that's the idea of it. The other announcement on the first Sunday in, you say March? First Sunday in March, that's a month away. We're going to have a soup luncheon, and the proceeds from that will go to youth ministry, mission trip, but we've got a month to publicize that, but just be thinking about eating lunch here at the church the first Sunday in March.
All right. I think it's more than, the way Steve explained it is like a ice cream competition, because I got some ice cream, but soup will be good. People to bring different crock pots full of soup, and we taste test a bunch of different soups. And
you got it.
It sounds like a fun thing.
That's more of the details, right?
So come up with a good recipe.
Month to do that.
All right. Anything else that we need to have brought before our attention this morning? Any other announcements? All right. Yeah, Caitlin Annabelle has got a, she's got an announcement. I'd like to thank all of you for braving the weather this morning and coming out. It's great to see this crowd this morning. I didn't expect this many, and that was me of little faith. Brother Bennett, it's good to see you this morning here, too. Let us go now to our prayer list. There's lots on there. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Angela McCormick. Okay. Any other additions we need to have to the prayer list this morning? Yes.
Greg, I have a work friend, Greg Lane. He and I were talking, and he just casually mentioned to me that his mom had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease a few months ago. Her name is Margaret. The last name is Ling, L-Y-N-G. He's a good friend of mine. We don't work directly, but we work indirectly together. And we believe very much that I told him I put her on.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Anyone else we need to remember this morning? Yes, Jim. Okay.
Chris Lewis. Mm-hmm. Is going
for test. Anyone else this morning? Wow. Very good. Good. Is there anyone else we need to remember on the prayer list this morning? Anyone at all? If not, I would ask you to do two things. One, if you would write down that person that you've added this morning and put it in the collection plate when it's being passed by, that way we get the correct spellings. And secondly, if you will pray as often as you possibly can for those that have been added, those that are on, those that have been taken off. That is the one thing we have, is the power of prayer. And if you would now bow your heads for a moment of silence as we prepare for worship. Amen. Time now for our call to worship. It is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. It is responsive, if you would join along with me. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom need I fear?
Yahweh is the fortress of my life. On whom should I be afraid?
One thing I ask of Yahweh, one thing I seek. And now my head is held high over the enemies who surround me. So will I proclaim God, sacrifice, and sing a psalm of praise to the Lord. All glory to the Lord.
Let's all stand now, turning our hymnals to hymn 289. There shall be showers of blessing. We had showers during the night. I don't know if you count them as a blessing or not. Showers of blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, blessings and blessings and blessings you have sent our way. So many of a material nature. Lord, we have more than we know what to do with. Lord, we thank you for these. And we pray, O Lord, for guidance and direction in knowing how to use these for the betterment of your world and for the building of your kingdom. Lord, spiritual blessings as you instructed Paul to write to the Corinthians, they were blessed with every gift that they needed in that church. And Lord, likewise, we believe that you have blessed this church with every gift, every blessing that we need. And Lord, we thank you for it, for your blessing and blessings. Lord, we pray for these, for your continued direction, that we might know how to, but also be willing to use that which you have sent our way. Lord, we especially this day thank you for Jesus, who came to be our Savior, your Son, and you were willing to sacrifice Him for us. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. As we have come together today, we pray for this entire service. May it be a blessing. But may it be a blessing to you also. Lord, speak through your servant, but open our ears and our hearts. Lord, we thank you for his ministry and his presence today. Lord, we just come dedicating this service to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. Need one bit of information. Is anybody filling in for Miss Andrea this morning? Got it. So you are doing, Mr. Bennett, doing... Did I understand? Did Miss Andrea invite anybody else to fill in for her? Thank you, sir. A knife out of the kitchen. A knife out of the kitchen. Miss Andrea couldn't get off the hill this morning.
We now express our faith in God with our statement of faith. It's the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it's on the wall back here, if you would follow me in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
now that Mr. Bennett has his sharp knife, we'll all be on our toes. Let's turn now to hymn 338. 338 at Calvary.
Jesus is empty and dry, caring not my Lord was crucified. Loving God it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was made and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. My raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, the mighty cup that God gives stands at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There our burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Now, if you will, please turn over to hymn 474. We are learning. Play that through again for us, Miss Melanie. We did this also at the 8 o'clock service. I don't mind telling you, it didn't go too well. So maybe we'll do better this time, okay?
If all the children will come down this morning for children's time with Brother Bennett, and remember, he's a preacher, not a butcher, so don't be afraid of the knife. It's okay. And there is no children's church this morning, so if you'll stay here in the sanctuary with your parents, okay?
Any of you ever drawn a match? Never. That's one way to get what you want. Just to go on and ask it. And there's some people, you know, that in family. My neighbor's CPA, and he used to make tax returns. He got out on March, April 15th. Another said, be careful, boys. So you got to be careful for the day you get mad. And he'd get mad, and he'd just yell and carry on like that. And his mother was terrible at that. So I grew up with a long line of people that had mad kids. There's ways to people to do stuff that you want, if you want. And there's ways of handling a mad kid. Like my wife likes to tell about her grandmother. And her cousin of hers was yelling and screaming and carrying on. So she wanted to have to do what she wanted to do. And this kid just walked in the kitchen, got a pan full of cold water out of the back. Walked in the living room and threw this bag of cold water in the girl's face. The last mad bitch she ever had. Heard a good one the other day about a lady that I know, and that she was in a committee meeting in an Episcopal church. And there on the committee was an Episcopal priest. And he was having a mad fit at this lady. And he was yelling, waving his arms. And while he was yelling, she got finally, she was whispering, "I don't do anything." He looked around and realized that he's the only one yelling. He's the only one having a mad fit. But it's not bad to get mad when you really need to. Because sometimes something is so terrible happens. And you haven't got any sense if you don't get your back up about that. Sometimes people are literally hardly bored in their homes. And his, you know, a woman who lived next door called her children, you know, he came for the day. And get off to that little boy. His mother was telling me that, and I got mad at him. I never laid out on who they were one block. But I got mad about it. Jesus gets mad sometimes when they were selling stuff in the church. And they were cheating people. And he took a bunch of cords and made a whip and drove them out. And he seemed to be yelling at them. Yeah. People who were religious, who didn't treat people right, but they talked religious. Jesus had no use for them, so he taught them snakes. Sometimes. So Jesus got mad at times. And at times it's okay if you get mad at us. But let me tell you what it is when you anybody ever said about you that you got a lot of temper? Somebody said you got a lot of temper. Has anybody ever had that said to you? Okay, I got a lot of camera. Anybody out there in the church got a lot of camera? Okay, it's all right to have a lot of temper. You see, temper is something that's in a piece of metal. This is a good knife, and it's a sharp knife. You know what makes that knife good and sharp? It's because that it had a lot of temper. And if the temper was in the knife, you could put it down over a piece of meat and come out dull. This is a good knife because it has a lot of temper. Another thing is, this is a pretty good knife because, see, I can bend it over like that. When I bend it over, you know what it does? That's that. That's a good knife. Because other, if it didn't have temper in it, you bend it over and just stay bent. So this is a good knife. So it's a useful knife. And you can use it in, you know, to cut meat, to really good. And so it's a powerfully good knife. But because it's a good knife, I've got to be careful that I don't pick it up, you know, like that, you know, to touch your hand. And so, with good temper, if you've got a lot of temper, well, that's an asset. But like having a lot of temper is a matter of learning when to use it and how to use it. Because if you got this temper, this nice got a lot of temper, it makes it bad. But you can also take this time to steps. Or you can get a five like that. A lot of people with their tongues, they kill people, they hurt people. You can hurt people. Here's a knife that's got a lot of temper. You can use it, or you can kill it. Hurt it. So it's good to make good stuff. It can serve people. It's also terrible if you start to stab. It's okay that you got a lot of temper, but learn to use it. Okay? Now, if you want to think of it, you have to think of it. Okay, so let's get around and say.
He certainly got our attention, did he not? It is time to express our thanks to God with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. If the ushers would please come forward.
Thank you.
I was introducing George at the 8 o'clock service and told some of the stuff that he was going to tell. George has been with us. This is the third time in 2 or 3 years. He was with us last January to interview a number of you. Though he didn't speak that Sunday, he wanted to observe us under a normal worship experience, and he did, and he wrote his report, and we're still working on some of that. And through Touch the Future studies during the season of Lent, we'll be looking at some more of those suggestions that he made, see how we can work them into our church ministry. George has been an acquaintance since the 60s, 63 I believe it was. We met and been an acquaintance or a friend, served together in Arkansas, and then he went to Texas, a couple of places, and back to Tennessee to work with the Board of Missions. And you want to tell about last Sunday, I guess, too, don't you? Okay, I'll let you tell about that. And so we're delighted to have, and I'm delighted to present to you Reverend George Estes.
Thank you, Larry, and I am glad to be back with you. And as he mentioned, last Sunday, I was privileged to be in Miami, Florida, where we organized the newest Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It is a Spanish-speaking church in Miami called El Camino, The Way, and it is pastored by a mutual friend of ours who was in seminary with us, Luciano Jaramillo, originally from Cali, Colombia, South America, where he had served as the director for our Colegio Americano before coming to the States. And for the last 25 or 30 years, Dr. Jaramillo has been working for the International Bible Society, in addition to doing other church work, and he is responsible for the North American outreach for Spanish Bibles for the new international version of the International Bible Society. So he's in a very responsible position there in Miami and has a staff. But several years ago, he decided that he wanted to also try to organize a new congregation. And so he pulled a group of people together, and they met for a while, and then they began to identify formally with the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. They bought a former Lutheran church facility, and we sent work teams down to Miami to work with them and to refurbish that facility. It's very, very nice. And so this past Sunday, we had the organization service for that congregation. There were 80 people who signed the charter roll. There were probably 150 people present for the service. And we had the representatives from Grace Presbytery to go and do that service in their behalf. And Pastor Jaramillo was received as the pastor of that church, the founding pastor of that church. So that was a grand occasion. We once in a while have that opportunity to travel around the country and to be present when new congregations come into existence. It's one of the great joys that I have as a member of the staff of the Board of Missions to serve in that capacity. I want to say a word about Sam Sutterth, who's also a member of our Board of Missions and General Assembly. He's, as you know, very, very vitally involved not only in this congregation, but also in his outreach work through mission trips, and also a very, very valuable member of our Board of Missions. And I'm very pleased that he is serving in that capacity with us. And yes, Larry and Carol have been friends of ours for a long time, and their daughters were very delighted to have that relationship and to be here with you again this week. I did do a weekend consultation about a year ago in January, and enjoyed that experience very much, and visited with several of you on a personal basis and got to know you a little bit. That was a privilege for me. And then I wrote a pretty wordy report, I think, if I recall, about what might be done here at Jenkins Church to be prepared for the coming of a lot of new folks into this area. And you, I know, are very serious about preparing for the changes that the community is about to experience. And I will be having you very much in my prayers as you respond to the opportunities that will come your way. I know that you will be a blessing to this community and a furtherance to the kingdom of God through your ministries here. This morning I call your attention to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And I will begin to read at the 35th verse, John chapter 1, verse 35 and following. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the ninth hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May God bless you, our understanding, this reading from His Word as we pray together. O God, this morning we praise You and thank You for the gift of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we are gathered and around whose throne of mercy we find our place today. We are so grateful for the blessing that we receive from His hand, the blessing of salvation, forgiveness of our sins, abundant life, and life eternal. And, O God, in these moments, we pray that Your Spirit will illumine our hearts and inspire our minds, that we may hear afresh this ancient word coming alive for us in these moments, spurring us to a more intentional level of Christian discipleship. Help us, O God, as we go back into our daily activities this week, to do so with an inflamed spirit, a spirit set on fire by Your presence and Your love and Your mercy, a spirit inspired by Your Word, that we may be more closely attuned to what Jesus is doing in the world and be a part of it, that we may be more faithful ambassadors of Christ in the world. We have many responsibilities, many cares, many concerns. And we are grateful to You that You give us the strength, physically, emotionally,
mentally and spiritually to deal with so many things that come our way. And now, O God, help us to concentrate our minds and hearts upon You. Reveal to us Your Son, Jesus Christ, even in our midst in these moments. It is in His name and for His glory that we pray. Amen. I have for a long time found it fascinating that so many diverse and different kinds of people were attracted to Jesus. Have you thought about that? He would walk along fishermen's wharf, and there would be people mending their fishing nets. People like Peter, James and John, Andrew. Workers, hard workers, busy toiling over their nets. Perhaps a little disgruntled that they didn't do better the night before in fishing. Wondering maybe how they were going to take care of the responsibilities they have, the bills that are stacked up on the dining room table. How they're going to make it possible for the children to eat what the next meal, or to have the clothes on their back, or maybe save for that college education. Just ordinary people like those. And Jesus walking along the fisherman's wharf, and He would come up to them and say things like, "Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men." And they would leave everything just to be with Him. Don't you find that fascinating? Or maybe it was that day when He approached Levi, the tax collector, sitting at his table, lines of people all up and down the street waiting very impatiently to pay their taxes. And of course, to appear before Levi, the tax man, was about the worst thing that a person could happen. And so he would. Everybody in the line was dreading it. Everybody in the line hated being there. Everybody in the line hated Levi for that part. And Jesus walked up to that table, mounds of coins all around the table, papers being shuffled to and fro, people elbowing one after another, trying to get ahead in the line. Jesus walked up to the table and said to Levi, "Follow Me." And the tax man got up out of his chair and went after Jesus. Don't you find that interesting? And then there were these two disciples who had been disciples of John the Baptist for some time. All along the Jordan River there, they had heard John the Baptist preach his hellfire and damnation sermons. And they loved John the Baptist. As my friend Alfred Bennett reminded me this morning, they may have felt like there was something more they should be hearing too. And so they followed Jesus after John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." They followed Jesus after John the Baptist pointed Him out. They followed Him at a distance. They were young fellows, John and Andrew. And Jesus noticed that they were following Him, and He turned around and He asked them, "What are you looking for? Who are you seeking?" And one of them piped up and said, "Well, sir, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." He invited them into His life. Over and over and over, we see Jesus inviting people into His life. So I find it fascinating that so many different kinds of people from such diverse backgrounds, came after Jesus. You might say, "Well, yes, but these were disciples. These were people who were particularly spiritually attuned. These were people who were already looking for the Messiah, at least according to our text. They were already tuned into what God was doing in the world. So
maybe there was a special place in their heart for Jesus when he came into their lives and they were ready to follow him. But you know what? The Bible also tells us that there were other people who came after Jesus. The scriptures tell us that the common people, the ordinary folks, heard him gladly. They wanted to be where Jesus was. They came out of their villages and towns whenever they heard he was coming their way. They wanted to be where Jesus was. Yes, you might say, well, he healed their sick. That's one good reason. That's true. He did. Or he encouraged them when they felt weak and downtrodden. And that's true. He did. He relieved their minds when they were so stressed out. And that is true. He did. But they also stuck around. After all the miracles were over, they wanted to hear what this person had to say because he spoke with an authority unlike any of their religious teachers. He spoke as if he knew what he was talking about. They wanted to be near him. But there were others who followed Jesus too, came close to him, were attracted to him. And this group's going to surprise you. It surprises me every time I read it in the gospel. It always surprises me. Who are the people I'm talking about now? These were the well-known sinners. The people on the lowest rung of the moral ladder. These were the people that the scribes and the Pharisees would have zero to do with. They didn't rate. They were down on the bottom. And they were the kind of folks that good church folks wouldn't have much to do with today, I'm afraid. They were the ones who were caught in the middle of sinning, right then and there. That woman, about to be stoned to death. Her accuser standing all around, ready to get that job done. And Jesus kneels down in the dust, takes his finger, and writes in the dirt. We have no idea what he said, no idea what he wrote, but suddenly all those accusers began to drift back into the woodwork. And Jesus said to her, "Where are your accusers? Well, if they're gone, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." That kind of person, that's the kind of person that was also attracted to Jesus. People who were known sinners. In fact, that became a scandal in his ministry. The good folks, those who were higher up in the social and religious and moral ladder, managed to look down on these kind of people that Jesus would relate to. And they accused the disciples behind Jesus' back of having a leader that, listen to this, he ate with sinners. How bad is that? He ate with sinners. It's interesting to me, the diversity of people who felt right at home with Jesus. People that many of us wouldn't feel at home with at all. But you know, it wasn't just the disciples, and it wasn't just the common folk, and it wasn't even the lowest on the rung who were attracted to Jesus. There were these others. These were the critics of Jesus. Scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees who wouldn't seemingly give him the time of day. They didn't like what he said. They didn't like what he stood for. They regarded him as a threat. They were jealous of his popularity. They didn't like him at all. But everywhere you turn in the gospel, there they are. He couldn't go anywhere without having them to deal with. They were attracted to him. There's something about Jesus Christ. Something about Jesus Christ that attracts the disciple, that attracts the common man, the common woman, that attracts the lowest on the lowest rung, and that attracts even his enemies, even his critics, There's something about the personal magnetism of Jesus Christ that wins people to Him.
How do I know?
Well, we're here, aren't we?
You and I are here, aren't we?
We have been attracted to this one, this unique, this unusual person, Jesus Christ. Now the disciples began to figure it out as they walked with Him and saw all the wonderful things that He did, heard Him speak. They began to figure it out. This is no ordinary guy. This isn't your ordinary Nazarene right here. This is not your ordinary carpenter's son. There's something else going on here. Yes, fully human. No question about that. We can reach out and touch Him. We can embrace Him. We can listen to Him. We can interact with Him person to person. He is fully human. There's no question about that. But there's something else going on here, and we know it. He is also fully divine. He is God's Son. He is completely, totally, 100% God, as well as 100% human being. Wow. No wonder people wanted to follow after Him. No wonder they wanted to be where He was. No wonder they decided to leave their regular everyday activities just so they'd have the privilege of walking with Him. But to my mind, the main reason people wanted to be with Him when they realized who He was and how He was, the main reason they wanted to be with Him is because He invited them into His life. He invited them to be where He was. He invited them to know the Heavenly Father as He knew the Heavenly Father. He invited them into the kind of abundant life that He Himself experienced. He said, who I am, where I am, what I am, you too can participate in. I will be in you, and you can be in me. Now we're talking. That's what we'd like. That's what we need as disciples. That's what the world needs. We need that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. For me, His inviting personality is a model of evangelism for the church today. We too need in our congregations that same inviting spirit. We need in our DNA as a Christian group the capacity to invite other people into our spiritual life with us. Because Jesus is with us and we are with Jesus, we want to be sure that others have the opportunity to be with us and to be with Jesus with us. Well, now let me ask you now. Are we doing all we can as Jenkins Church to be an inviting church? I'm wondering today if you think about your church as an inviting community. What would it take to be an inviting church? I'm told by experts in church growth and evangelism around the country that 80% of the Christian congregations in the United States are either plateaued in membership or actually declining in membership. Only about 20% are growing numerically, in other words. Well, you all are among the 20%. What are you doing that creates the climate for people to come into your community of faith and feel good about it? What are you doing that invites people to come and participate with you so that they get the opportunity to know Christ in the same way that you know and are growing in Christ? Being an inviting church is an extremely important part of what you want to try to achieve in the next few years. Every ministry you have, whether it is worship, Sunday school, the ministries you have of fellowship, Christian education, the ministries you have of outreach and missions in the community and beyond, everything you do needs to have as part of its focus the possibility that somebody else might want to be a part of this too.
but we have to get the word out. We have to tell our story in an effective way. We have to tell our story in a winsome way so that people will want to hear what we have to share and want to participate with us. We're not ringing our bell. We're not telling just our story. We're sharing Jesus Christ with the world. Because He's the one that makes all the difference. We're just lucky to be here. Fortunate to be along. Glad to be a part of it. We are His ambassadors, His representatives, but the real story is Jesus. He's the one with that personality that draws persons to Him. What do we need to do differently that we're not now doing to improve our inviting capacity as a church? Maybe we need to be more conscious of it. Maybe we need to be more intentional about our relationships and letting people know about what might be possible for them as they come into community with us. You have a brochure that you make available in the community once in a while, sharing the ministries of your church. I know you do. And you have other ways that you communicate what your church is doing to this community. I'm going to say to you, you need to do more and more of that. Be sure that people who move into this area have an opportunity to know about your congregation. There are other good churches here. They'll have their chances to make some choices, but don't let them forget Jenkins Church. After all, don't you love it? Don't you love these relationships? Aren't they helpful to you? Aren't they helping you to be a better disciple than you would be without it? Well, other people might feel that same way too. I believe the church has two main agendas before it today as we try to serve God and Christ in this community and in this world. The first agenda is very obvious to all of us who are church folks. And that is, we need to take care of our own. Pastoral care, and by that I don't mean just what the pastor does. Pastoral care includes all of our caring for one another. Pastoral care for the membership of our church is critical. People have needs. People have needs in their homes, their families. They have physical needs. They have spiritual and emotional needs. Our congregation and its representatives can help our own folks through the trials and difficulties of life. All of us experience them. And it is true that when we are weakest, when we are the most vulnerable, when we are experiencing life at its worst, that's when church means the most to us. Don't ever forget that. You are vital. You are essential. When people are going through tough times, they need you. They need you. You may say, "Oh, preacher, I don't know what to say. I might say the wrong thing." It's not what you say. It's being who you are. It's being who you are in relationship to Jesus Christ. Being Christ's person on the scene right then. That's what it is. So you have that agenda. And so you're going to plan your worship services, your Sunday school classes, your other activities, with the focus in mind of taking care of our own membership. We don't want anyone slipping through the cracks. We don't want anybody going out the back door. We want everybody to be cared for. That's an agenda item for us in the life of the church. We will not be able to convince people that God loves them if we don't love them. We have to take care of our own. I said there are two agendas. And my experience is many Cumberland Presbyterian churches are very good at agenda number one. We're kind of bad at agenda number two. And the agenda number two is we're going to need to care for people who are not part of us. Care for the community of the unchurched. Care for that community beyond our walls that do not have our agenda as topmost in their own lives. They don't care what we do. They don't care when we have our worship service. They don't care whether we have a bulletin or not. They don't care anything about us. Does that mean we don't get to care about them? What if Jesus had taken such an attitude? Well, I'm only going to go to those people who care about me. Maybe Jesus could have taken that kind of an attitude. Wouldn't have been much point in leaving Bethlehem with that kind of attitude, would it? Jesus went to people where they were. He sought lost people in order to find them. Many of us think that lost people are supposed to just come barreling over themselves to get to us. It doesn't work that way. We have to seek them. We have to care for them. So part of our agenda as the church today is to plan our worship service or our Sunday school class or our committee time or our fellowship activity or our outreach and mission work. Part of it is to plan it for those who are not here yet. People that even may never darken our door. But we're ready for them if they ever do come. We're praying for them now. We're seeking to develop a relationship with them now. We're not waiting for them to come. We're going to where they are. Because that's what Jesus did. He went where the people were. And we're going to invite them into our spiritual life in the same way that Jesus invited people into His life. We're going to claim that we have something to offer. What we have to offer is the possibility that someone out there could have a closer walk with God than they do right now just because they are part of Jenkins Church. That's all. Now, to me, that's worth doing. That's worth thinking about. And as you do your Touch the Future, let me ask you this. Let me ask you to do this. Don't just discern what you already know. Discern something you don't know yet. And don't just plan for all the people you already have. Begin to plan and pray and care for the people you don't have yet. That way, you will make a tremendous impact for good in this community. God will honor what you're doing. The light won't go out in your church. The Spirit will be real. Lives will be changed. Boys and girls, young people will grow up knowing what it is to be cared for by a community of faith. Middle adults will know what it is like to work day by day in their own marketplace and then come to a place where they can feel like it's worth it all. And older folks, our friends, can face the end of their days and know that it is worthwhile and that they have hope for life everlasting just because they've been part of this church. So I want to challenge you this morning to be an inviting church. You have a gift to share. Don't hide it under a bushel. Make sure that others, your relationships, your friendships, your co-workers, make sure your friends know this is a good thing going on here. And Jesus Christ is in the big middle of it all. It occurs to me this morning that all of us need rededication. I hardly ever go to a worship service and I don't feel like I need rededication and recommitment. Because I don't know, there's something about me that gets kind of crusted over. And I've heard it all before. And so, if I'm not careful, I can forget. You don't want to hear a preacher say this, but I can forget that Jesus is standing right here in the midst of us right now. I can forget that if I'm not careful. But when I just open my eyes, spiritually speaking, and realize that, oh, that changes everything. That's what I mean by rededication. Just opening our spiritual eyes to see what Christ is doing right here, right now in our midst. The harvest that is prepared for us, for His kingdom. So you may be thinking, I need to make a new commitment. I think that's one reason you have a series of services like this. Is to give us all an opportunity to refocus and get reconnected. So that's going to be your opportunity this morning as we close this service. And then it occurs to me too that there may be some who really probably need to make a profession of faith. Maybe it's been a long time since you did that. Or maybe you never have. But there's something magnetic about Jesus. He's calling to you. It's no accident that you're here if you're feeling that way today. And I want to challenge you one more thing. You elders, you church officers, pastor, choir and music people, I want to challenge you all as members of this church, rededicate yourselves this morning to inviting people to know the joy that you know in Jesus Christ and to share this with your community. We're going to stand to sing Just As I Am, number 342. Larry and I will be standing down here. There may be some who'd want to make a public profession of faith or ask for prayer or come with a comment of rededication. You're welcome to come as we sing together.
was no one else in this whole congregation listening to you and your very words, only I would listen. And I hope and pray that not only myself, but this whole church can live up to the challenge that you issued to us this morning. And I thank you for your admonition of all of that. Thank you so much for coming to us and giving yourself to us.
My blessing. I bless you.
Anyone
else? Larry, I have something. When my brother passed away, we went to his service in Memphis, and there was this church that welcomed us in, and it wasn't a Cumberland Presbyterian church, and we probably disagree with their theology, but they got something that we don't. They picked up on something that we have yet to work on. The way their sanctuary was set up, to describe it to you, is they didn't really have it set up with pews facing the front. They had an altar, but it was more central, and all the chairs faced in to that point. None was greater than the other, and they took that seriously. And in the middle of the room, there was a six-sided table. On each side of that table, just like we have in remembrance of me etched on that table, it said, young or old, Richard Poor, Greek or Jew, drawing a blank, man or woman, in all those we are one in Christ.
Amen.
They have something, and they have an understanding that I hope to reach, and an acceptance of people, and like you say, people that we would look on as sinners. But that's who Jesus was here for. And I hope that we can embrace all people, because He certainly came for all people. And I learned that lesson last week, and I thought I'd share it.
Larry. Oh.